From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament as he turns to Paul's brief epistle to Titus. The apostle gave his close friend Titus the task of preaching to a church that was located in the midst of a vile society, a church which was being influenced by the wickedness around them, as well as by false teachers in their own ranks. Fully aware of the opposition Titus would face, Paul sent him with credentials validated by Paul's own authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Titus's assignment was to present the body of truth which defines the true gospel, the central themes of which are God, grace, godliness, and glory. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence this study of Titus under the title, The Faith of God's Elect. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Lord's Much More. The text is found in 2 Chronicles, chapter 25 and verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. If you have made a mistake, bear the loss of it, but do not act contrary to the will of the Lord. The Lord can give you much more than you are likely to lose, and if he does not, will you begin bargaining and chaffering with God? The king of Judah has hired an army from idolatrous Israel, and he was commanded to send home the fighting men because the Lord was not with them. He was willing to send away the host, only he grudged paying the 100 talents for nothing. Oh, for shame! If the Lord will give the victory without the hirelings, surely it was a good bargain to pay their wages and to be rid of them. Be willing to lose money for conscience' sake, for peace's sake, for Christ's sake. Rest assured that losses for the Lord are not losses. Even in this life they are more than recompensed. In some cases, the Lord prevents any loss from happening. As to our immortal life, what we lose for Jesus is invested in heaven. Fret not at apparent disaster, but listen to the whisper, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this.
See you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
This evening we're turning to the New Testament, to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his namesake. Tonight we're going to be looking at a text in the very first verse of this chapter, where Paul describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The text tonight specifically is going to be that phrase, the faith of God's elect. The apostle had often chosen Titus, who was probably yet a young man and one of his esteemed helpers. He had chosen him for difficult missions. You may recollect that it was Titus whom Paul sent to Corinth when that church was riven with division, when immorality was rampant, great sin was wreaking havoc in the church. Titus went as Paul's personal messenger, and he met with spectacular success for his ministry in Corinth. Similarly here in Crete, on the island of Crete, where there was obviously a number of churches, the apostle sent, or should I say left, for he had been there with him and then moved on, left Titus to oversee the works that were recently established. And when he did so, I think he placed him in an even more difficult and challenging situation than in Corinth. The churches in Crete were very young, and they were facing enormous pressures. Cretan society was particularly vulgar and particularly vicious, even by the standards of the heathen world. The evil practices of the ungodly, unfortunately, were invading the church. There's nothing very new in this. You look at the churches today and you find very much the same thing. Now, so often churches are like sponges, and they start soaking in the influences, the attitudes, and even the activities that are going on all around about them. And that certainly seemed to be happening in the churches in Crete, among these people so lately saved out of this wicked lifestyle. So Paul left Titus there in order that he would call them to truth. Paul was concerned that as these young Christians lived in the midst of an ungodly society, amidst debauchery and wickedness of unmentionable proportions, they should be able to rise above it, and they should be able to live out the beauty of the gospel in vital personal holiness. That was a major concern. Can I say that that is still a major concern for every godly preacher? It is the concern of the New Testament. You could encapsulate the whole message of the New Testament, indeed, in this kind of language, that it's written in order that we who are living in a debauched and depraved world would rise above the society in which we're living, we'd rise above the age in which we're living, we'd transcend the spirit of the age, and we would be so consumed with the gospel that we would live out the beauty of the gospel in personal, vital holiness. Caring nothing. It's easy to say that. It's a difficult thing actually to live by it. But caring nothing for this world or the things of this world or what the world would think or say or do. When God's people live that way, they reach great heights of spiritual attainment and spiritual power in the world. That's the story of the Christian martyrs. That's where they had reached. They didn't care anything for what men thought or said or did. They simply lived out the gospel. And Paul was concerned that these new Christians in Crete would do the same thing. He had another reason to be concerned. There was the debauchery from the outside, but then he realized that there were evil influences infecting the church from the inside. There were false prophets. There were people of the circumcision, Jews who professed Christianity. But their profession, obviously, as we read at the end of the chapter, was a lie. It was belied by their action. They were preaching fables and philosophies instead of the truth of God. They were coming along with whatever stories or whatever that would be easily received. They commended themselves by easy words. They were corrupting the church. And the whole result of this was to pull down the standards of the people. These were the kind of people that Paul denounced in Romans 6 and 1. They were able to say, we continue in sin that grace may abound. We're saved by grace. And we can do what we like. As so many people have said, a Christian can do anything but go to hell. And that's the devil's lie. That is an absolute lie of the devil. There are certain things that a Christian cannot do. You read the first epistle of John. A very difficult epistle in many ways. But it says he cannot sin. I think that the majority of commentators are right when they say there's an emphasis on the practice, the willful, deliberate, ongoing practice of sin. There's none of us has yet reached glorification, as none of us has yet reached perfection. But there is a difference between a godly Christian failing to reach perfection and a lying hypocrite, like a sow wallowing in the mire of a sin, or like a dog returning to its vomit. There's a vast difference. So there are things that a Christian cannot do, and people who do them testify that they are not Christians at all. But these were people corrupting and infecting the church from the inside. Now, if you get the picture, here's a church of young Christians. It's being attacked from the outside. There's a lot of talk today about culture. I hate that word. Not in the sense that it used to be employed of teaching people culture. Bob Jones Sr. always wanted to bring people to his school that they would not only learn the 3 R's, etc., but they would learn some culture and better music and better literature. And not talking about that, but we live in a day when the word culture is in everybody's lips. You know, the word culture comes from the Latin word that simply means worship. The culture of any nation at any given time is an expression of the religious standards of that day. It is an expression of where they stand in worship and what they worship. Never forget that. Talk today as if all culture were acceptable. Doesn't matter whether it's heathen, pagan, or Christian. Well, the Christian's not so acceptable in this day and age. But get a picture of what the world would call culture. The culture of Cretan society was absolutely vile and filthy. It was an expression of the religious worship that was so practiced in the nation. And these people were under that pressure. They'd just been saved out of it. And then there are these evil teachers coming in and corrupting them and leading them on into sin. Paul says to Titus, now you get there and supply the things that are wanting. Make up the things that are lacking. Thank man. Do you see this? I'm not going to be preaching in this tonight. But can you see this? In the midst of that vile and filthy situation, there are men, blameless, the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not given to filthy lucre, blameless, the husbands of one wife, with faithful children and well-run families. There were such men. You see, it's possible to live for God and live in holiness and transcend the wickedness of any age. There is no excuse for a Christian living out his life in defeat and living out his life in sin. There is no excuse whatsoever. Paul is looking at the vilest society that you can think about, and he says, fight men like this and ordain them as bishops or elders in the church. It was a big task that young Titus had, and Paul knew that he was going to run right into a brick wall of determined opposition. And knowing that, he realized that there was only one thing that was going to give Titus the ear of the people. And that would be the assurance that in truth he was there with the authority, the divinely given authority of an apostle. And that's why Paul commenced the epistle with these striking words. You may think it's strange that he would introduce himself to one of his best friends like this. What need of such an introduction? When you look at this, this is one of the longest introductions in the New Testament. There's only one or two introductions of greater length than this. So why would he need to do this to one of his most personal and intimate friends? Well, the truth is, this was more for the consumption of others than it was for Titus. And so he starts off saying, I am an apostle according to the faith of God's elect.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.